Good evening, one and all. Yes, it's a Sunday. Well, you say it's a Sunday because I didn't realise, but of course you get like 2 hours of me on a Sunday afternoon. You get my, those were the days from 5 to 6. And then they play between the 6 o'clock and the 6:30. They play one of the other shows from the week. So a whole 2 hours of me. Aren't you all lucky? Well, never mind. This is the live show. This is the show as of now, Sunday. And it's 6:30 where I am on the Eastern Coast. My guest today, she's not in her normal place. She's travelled as well today. I was a bit worried in case I wasn't going to get back in time from my travels, but we are both here and we're ready for this show. Now, what can I say about my guest today? Well, you know, life is busy. It's busy for all of us, but when you're a nurse and you've got 3 football-playing sons, 2 of which are like in college teams, so you know there's a lot of watching there, and a wife, of course, and then, of course, not just your normal family, your biological family, your church family and everything else, but she now has time, so she has time, but she is now writing. She's done some sort of poems and flash fictions, and now she's started with her debut novel. But I better introduce her first, because on the show today, I have the one and only Michelle Gillam. Hi, Michelle, how you doing?
Hi, Barry. How is everyone? Well, I'm so glad to be here today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you today, and I know it's, you know, like everybody on today, especially... I think you're in Tennessee. Nice weather every... Well, here in Connecticut, it's nice, and I'm sure it is where you are. In fact, it's a lovely evening. It's almost like autumn out there. But we are here, and we are going to talk about you. I mean, I know you didn't start sort of writing this other stuff till, you know, a bit later on, but were you, when you were little, one of these ones that as soon as you could hold a crayon, you were writing little stories and poems and stuff like that?
Yeah, I guess my first one was third grade. I wrote a little story about a lion, and it usually had a moral to the end of it. But it was writing songs as a teenager and poems.
Yep.
That later birthed into poetry when I went back to college later in life after I was married and children, that I ended up writing stories. And more into novels, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I always, like, you know, I started off the little stories and stuff like that, and then into poems, and that, and then poems became mm-hmm. songs, you know, and because after all, you know, songs are just poems put to music most of the time, you know.
Exactly.
So that. Mm-hmm. The big thing is, do any of these early items still exist? This is the big question.
I can't say the third grade story is, but yes, the songs were... still exist. There's in some kind of box up in the attic, but yeah, they're around.
That's the big thing. It's to me, it's the equivalent of a painter becoming famous, and they put these, you know, they have their big art exhibition, and the people are going, oh, wonderful. And the mother comes up and says, never mind that, look what they did when they were 5. And there's this thing, you know, with purple hair and arms bigger than the house next to them. And it's like that. You can say, yeah, I know she wrote stuff now, but look what she did. Wonderful, when she was in third grade. It's just, I can imagine people digging this stuff out. And I must admit, it's the larger percentage of people still have them lying around somewhere, so it just shows you. So you started with the poetry and the songs and stuff like that. Did you do like short stories as well?
I did a few short stories. I didn't have much patience. I think I did one round of submissions, and I didn't have a whole lot of patience to wait around and do it again. I think I sent it to 10 different internet sites for publication, mm-hmm. and I was off onto something else. It wasn't something that I knew I was going to do forever. I wanted to go ahead and tackle the big novel.
Right.
My father had written screenplays, so when we sit around and talk about stories, they're huge. You know,
right.
They're not just short. So. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's a lot of authors we've had on the show that have gone on to screenplays writing, and I've had screenplay writers that have gone on to, you know, normal books as well. But it's the different sort of thing, because when you're doing a screenplay, you don't have mm-hmm. to paint the scenery, paint the picture, if you like. Whereas when you write the book, you have to describe the situation, describe the screenery. You have to paint it with words rather than with, you know, with the camera, I guess.
And that's probably one of my favorite things I do, or I should say what people say I do best, maybe, is the description,
right,
and they feel like they're there. And I do think I get that from the lessons and studies in poetry.
Right.
Of course, you got to challenge that with not being too flowery, which can happen.
I've been guilty
of.
I can believe it, because I can remember we had to do onomatopoeia poetry, and I think we did Mort D'Arthur, and the whole, you know, loud clash, the sword, you know, the description of the words, you're picturing the battle, and that's part and parcel doing that to going into a novel, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
No, but yeah, the thing is, when you came to write this, the first masterpiece, you know, the first of many, I'm sure, the novel, I'd have thought you'd have written a story about, you know, a football-playing hero and stuff like that. But no, you end up in a totally foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
where did the idea from that come from?
Oh, gosh. Well, Barry, I was actually raised by a British man. My little brother's half British, and so we have been over to England and Wrexham.
Wrexham,
I was a child,
yeah,
but
good.
Yes, he's from Wrexham, Wales. So yes, I have an auntie Senth in Scotland, and I can. And if I talk to or think too much about it, I'm going to start changing my accent. So, but yes, I have. I have this Tennessee side and I have this British side. So the travel was always there, but I think it was when I went to Ireland for 3 weeks in 2009 that birthed a lot of ideas about traveling as an adult. And some of the, I guess I put together the journey of a girl, a 19-year-old girl traveling, and just how scary it was, because even though I was older than that, you know how you can always revert back and be a child again. And I did. I looked at the adventure like that. And so I think the birthing of this book definitely came from a lot of that trip.
And your book, Roman Rescue, Who Will Save the Hero? I like that. It does. It covers this Maggie, 19, as you said, leaving a bit. I mean, she goes on her travels with a bit of wreckage behind her, doesn't she?
I'm not sure she
wants to get out of it all from all her life, because there's a lot going on in her life at the start there.
There is. She lost her father when she was younger, and tragically, and she holds him up definitely on a pedestal. And there is a pearl around her neck that he gave her when she was born that reminds her of all the words that he says to her throughout the book. But apparently when he died, her mom went into they were divorced and they went into rehab. She became, distraught and turned to the bottle. And all this is before the novel starts. So, Maggie is now fast forward. Her mom is in rehab and remarried and cleaned up and wants a relationship with her again. And Maggie wants nothing to do with it. So this is kind of Maggie running away to go be the hero to her brother, who has gotten an Italian girl pregnant and wants nothing to do with him. But in the end, it's Maggie who does need saving. So
Maggie herself has just broken up with her boyfriend as well, isn't she?
She did. She broke up with him. All kinds of excuses there. But yeah, she's kind of running. It's the end of her first year of college, and I think she's overwhelmed. She's not really dealt with everything, and I think a lot of girls in college can identify with the fact that, you know, life just keeps on going, even when we don't deal with all the maybe the tragedies or the wounds or something that are caused. And life keeps going until one day it just crashes in around you, and you do have to deal with it. And this is the summer Maggie deals with it.
Because normally, you know, her brother, Paul, isn't it? I mean, he's the sort of tough, you know, brother and everything like that. And she, I guess she must get a bit of a shock to see that he's not as tough as she thought. You know, he's got his own ghosts and everything like that. And he needs Maggie there.
Yes. Again, before the novel even starts, apparently in Texas, visiting mom on leave, you know, they're all together. And in a drunken night, he, you know, confides in her about this Italian girlfriend he has that now has broken up with him but is pregnant. And she sees her brother at a very vulnerable stage of I mean, I guess she's never seen him that vulnerable.
Right.
And it shocks her. And it shakes her up to realize, you know, because she's always tried to be tough. You know, they both have to be tough against the world mm-hmm. with what has happened to them. And when she sees him so vulnerable, she wants to save him. That's her other counterpart. You know, it's them two against the world. And so she does. She just can't even imagine not going. But he did tell her the next morning, ignore everything I said. I don't want you coming. But she does anyway.
She catches him, or he calls her on a bad time and then regrets talking about it, sort of thing, I guess.
He does.
And of course, being Italy, poor girl gets caught up in a bit of mafia stuff as well along the way.
Well, of course. Rome.
Of course it's right.
No, actually, I did a lot of research. There are four mafias in Italy, and I think they are geographically divided.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have actually come together in some areas of business and have unified. And they call that the fifth mafia. So, it's alive and well. I mean, one of the scenes in a warehouse in the book, the mafia is in charge of all the garbage in Italy.
Right.
And she ends up in this warehouse where garbage trucks normally come in and out. But
poor girl.
I did a lot of research to make it authentic. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, have you been to Italy?
I knew you were going to ask me this.
I know, because, I mean, I'll tell you in a minute, but you tell me first.
No.
Right. See, that's not strange. That's not strange at all, because it's amazing how people can write about these places they've never been to. Because I always say about, there was a lady who was quite a well-known historical romance type writer, and she wrote a book
mm-hmm.
and it was about an American girl who inherited a pub in a little village in Ireland, right? And
mm-hmm,
she
mm-hmm.
looked at the map and, oh, there's a little village, you know, big map of Ireland, found this little village, used that as the name. And she wrote this story and everything, and 2-3 years later she went to Ireland. She had a chance for a trip to Ireland. She went to Ireland and she went to this little village, and it was just like she'd written in the story. She knew that if she mm-hmm, went round the corner, mm-hmm. the church would be there and the river would be there. That she's never been there in their life. And this is how it amazes me how people can write that. But then, who knows, past lives and all this sort of stuff, you know?
Well, apparently Shakespeare had never been. So, we know what all he's written. But I will say he didn't have what I had, and I definitely used it. So, thanks for modern day and the internet. I did walk the streets everywhere Maggie went, and with Google, I walked into every restaurant she went into. I looked at all the pictures that patrons posted about the walls and the descriptions of everything. I looked at every menu, everything she ordered, to the point where, to the fountains descriptions, to the suitcases sold on the side of the street. I mean, everything I saw is literally things that I saw on the internet that people had posted and taken pictures of. So I had a lot more advantage than Shakespeare.
No, it's true. It amazes me. I mean, we've just purchased a caravan over in England for when I retire over there next year, hopefully. And
mm-hmm.
they said, I've done everything on the internet, including signing contracts, you know, with the cameras so they could see and all this sort of stuff. And then they said about mm-hmm. two or three sites. So I went to Google Earth and I walked through the caravan park, you know,
exactly.
and that was a site there. I'll take that one, you know. And literally, it's amazing what you could do, would you say?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It is. If you'll put the time in, it is.
It's
amazing.
It's all there for us. It really is. So, Maggie, bit of a sassy mm-hmm. woman, you know, not meant to be a heroine, but I guess she has to pick it up and go along with it and that. Do you think we might hear more from her?
My second novel that I have finished, that's with beta readers right now, is not Maggie's story. It is a different story. And then I've already started a third novel, and it's different. So I wouldn't ever say no, but I will say this novel is definitely complete in the sense that it's not a cliffhanger.
Right.
But many people have wanted more, and there definitely could be spinoffs of other characters like Kayla and Paul and so many other characters in this book. So you never know.
Well, she might have to go to Wales because there's an outbreak of sheep rustling or something like that.
Yes.
You can manage that.
She would be in a different country if that's not too distant.
Right. The whole story and the way you've done it, as you say, without being there and stuff like that, what sort of response have you sort of people said, you know, I've been to that village, or I can imagine that place, it's just like somewhere I've been? Have you got sort of replies like that?
I have gotten replies. I have a couple of patients that even have read the book and just loved it, and they said, that is just the weirdest thing. It's like I went over there last summer, and then I'm reading your book, and it's like you're describing everything I remember.
Right.
And that was probably one of the best compliments I got, along with, you know, I couldn't put it down, and it was just like, you know, surprising me on every turn. So I loved those two compliments. Uh-huh. But, yeah, definitely got good feedback. Also, there's David Hicks. In fact, he has White Plains is being released next month, actually. And he is a professor out in Colorado, Denver, Colorado. And he helped me with all of the language. He's half Italian.
And
he helped me make sure. Yeah, so I had some really, I have to just shout out to him to, you know, I had a lot of people that helped me, you know, make sure that I didn't have the wordage wrong and the language wrong. And, you know, I just definitely didn't want to be an American talking about other people. I wanted it to be authentic. So I definitely had some Italian help.
Right. It's good. I mean, with three football playing boys, what do they think of their mum finally writing this book?
Oh gosh. That's all over the map. All three of them.
All right.
So one of them has read it all the way to the end and says, wow, and mom, you know, great job. I have no idea how you did that. And then another one is just so busy with studies, you know, he's going to get around to it, so he's got it halfway done. And then the other one is like, mom, I just can't read it. He goes, there's a guy in there, I'm sure you're kissing. He goes, I can't read it. I'm like, it's not me, it's Maggie.
Yeah, I know, because...
And he's like, yeah, okay, right.
Yeah, but it's his. It's like, people say to me, is there any of you in your book? And I say, of course there is, I wrote it. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, your children, you know, I really did make Maggie up. I actually drew her from her... when she was a baby, mm-hmm. and I wrote about her all the way until I decided her story started when she was 19. So I did create her. I mean, at the same time, there's definitely points of her that I can relate to.
I mean, you know, even though it's not a place you've been to, I mean, it's your own experiences and your own knowledge and stuff like that. There's got to be mm-hmm. some of that in it. Now, what about this? Is it Liv and Lily, your next book?
Well, that's not the final title.
It's going to change.
What I call it. Yeah, it'll change. I do have the title, and it's really good, so I don't want to say it.
No, of course.
But anyway, yeah, it's about a, believe it or not, a 40-year-old or 42-year-old, I think, literary agent in New York. Hmm. And she's leaving it all. To go nurse a broken heart and a lost love. And there's a 3-year-old little girl that has a lot to do with her healing. And it's another story that I've really enjoyed writing.
And we're not abroad this time. You're in Virginia, is it, this time?
This one is in Arlington, Virginia. Right. New York, Virginia. Right. She goes to California, Germany.
Oh, she does go abroad, right.
she has to a little bit.
You can't just stay in this.
I think my heart is calling.
Telling you something.
You know, Europe calls me.
and what's the? I mean, that's the one that's nearly done. What's the third one you just started on? Is that again a different sort? Well, you said it's a different book.
Oh gosh, that is so different. It is. It's about an orthopedic doctor. And another military man. All of the novels have some kind of thread of military in them. This one, though, is a cross between, if you remember the movie Inception,
yep,
about dreams,
yep,
DiCaprio, and then Deja Vu with Denzel Washington.
Yep, yep.
It's kind of a cross between those two,
oh,
but it's got a little sci-fi to it, because Roman Rescue does too. We never talk about it.
Right.
Only those who've read it know it. But Maggie can see fear.
Ah,
and
right.
So it's fear is personified, and
right,
fear is her friend in the beginning, and then that's part of her journey, is overcoming fear.
Yeah, people, it's like a dog can sense, you know, people can sense fear, mm, and stuff like that. And people have, I mean, people, without going too into fantasy, people have these things. I always remember I get these like snapshots of stuff that's going to happen to me in the future, you know, just a snapshot, you know, that I'm going to turn a corner and there's going to be this, I don't know, say this church. And I see this church, and then 2 years later, I might turn a corner, and there it is. You know, just a snapshot like that.
Mm-hmm.
And other people, you know, they sense things, or they know this. But I was reading an article about 6 months ago that somebody's come up with a new theory that our lives are basically people in the future playing a game of SimCity, and we're just the characters that they're using for the moment, you know, because you know you sort of go out and you think, why did I turn right there when I normally turn left, and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's like the theory of Matrix, you know, the movie.
It is, it's going on in that.
Mm-hmm.
And look, one of the things a lot of people were surprised, and they think, well, once they've written the book, that's it, done, the hard work's done, it's published, you know, and that's, I always say that's when the hard work starts. Did you find that?
I agree. I absolutely agree, Barry. Yeah. I'd rather just write, but today writers definitely have to get out there and they have to talk about their book. And
yep.
And social media is a big part of that. And even though it feels like you're at the dentist,
I can understand that. Oh my goodness, I can understand. That's the whole reason I started doing these shows, because I was on a few shows with my book. And a couple of the hosts were terrible. I mean, literally, you ended up taking over the show yourself. And I thought, yeah, I can do better than that. I enjoy a good chat. And here I am over 1,000 shows later. You know?
you, I will say, are definitely excluded from that feeling, because this has been very enjoyable. And I understand why you have so many people who listen.
Well, I enjoy it. As I say, I mean, it's people say, oh, I couldn't go out. Especially debut authors. You know, I used to have, like, the class of 2K16 or something like that, and oh, their debut books come out and stuff like that, and I used to do like, mm-hmm, 45 sometimes an hour, you know, and they said, oh, I can't do that, and it's not a literary show. I keep telling people, it's sitting down having a chat over a cup of tea, and we talk about lots of things, but we talk about your book along the way, and that's the format, and it works. Like, seems to work.
I think it works beautifully. Yeah. I've listened to definitely plenty of your, you do great. Everybody's usually laughing at Ben and wanting to invite you over.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. People say, you know, laughing, but, you know, if we get a serious subject, then we talk about it seriously, but, you know, it's just the way it goes. Have you thought of, I mean, have you, perhaps your new book, I don't know, any of your sort of nursing experiences stuff into your books?
The third novel, being an orthopedic surgeon, you know, I'm not orthopedic, but I've had a lot of orthopedic procedures. My husband tells me no more X Games.
Tell me about it. Yeah. Believe me, we had a tag sale yesterday, because, you know, got to clear the house out before we move back to England next year. And the woman, I said, this woman came up and said, I know you from somewhere. And she's sort of talking to us. Yeah, I know you two. Where do you work? Oh, I do the x-rays at the Bristol Hospital just up the road. Oh, yeah, you've seen plenty of us lately.
Exactly. I walked into the orthopedic with you know, the three boys and me, you know, my husband excluded from all this. He's been quite healthy. And they just go, uh-oh, which one is it?
Well, that's right. We go.
You know,
we're so well known up there that we're being invited to the Christmas party this year.
I know. I have two of the surgeon's cell phone numbers. If that says anything, call any time
on speed dial. Yeah,
I know. Pretty bad, but no, we've been quite healthy and very, very safe. But yeah, they've all been minor things.
Last 2-3 years. I mean, even now, it's two and a over 2 months with this concussion, and I'm still only about 85%, but, you know, it's...
Oh, boy.
Such
oh
is
boy.
Life. You know, it's as you get old, that's it. I mean, I played rugby for 45 years, never had a concussion. Here we are, clearing the snow, smack, 2 months of concussion. Whatever.
Those are rough. Those are rough.
I know. It's nothing you can do. This is the trouble, isn't it?
Yeah. But as far as nursing, I would probably say all the books, I bring a lot of my job into it. But it's not necessarily... I mean, in this novel, the boyfriend, Sean, ends up with a subdural... Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud.
But
he ends up with an injury.
An injury, yes.
An injury. There we go. You know, I definitely have experience in some of those things and with some of those patients, being an emergency room nurse, then a labor and delivery nurse. And then now I'm in a practice where patients can sit down for 30 minutes. I see them every 2 weeks. It's almost like a couch time. Mm-hmm. And I hear all these amazing stories. And that, believe it or not, my second novel. Yeah, my second novel is a patient who for 16 weeks told me all about her family.
Wow.
Okay. And this beautiful granddaughter, her children, her son in the Afghanistan war, her daughter-in-law, all these beautiful people. And it was so real. I went home. I dreamed all her characters in a completely different story.
Well, that's the thing. They're just waiting to tell you their story. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, everybody is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly.
I wish everybody could do one novel.
That's right.
Everybody has a
Everybody's
story.
Got it. And yeah. I mean, a number of people come up to you with books on it and they're like, oh, have I got a story? You wouldn't believe it. Well, do something about it. Listen to your characters. Start it down. You know? Well, I tell you what.
Today you can.
No, exactly. It's a lot more easy. That's why I say a lot more doctors are writing stories these days, because people don't have to read their writing when they're typing it up. You know. Michelle, it's been absolutely fantastic having you on the show. But what I'm going to do now, because time has whizzed by as it always does, is to hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where they can find out more about you. And, of course, you're much reviewed with some great reviews. Novel.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate that. Everyone listening, I'd love to hear from you. I, first of all, have... email michellegillumauthor@gmail.com, where you can sign up for newsletter of all new releases. As far as Roman Rescue, it is definitely on Amazon, available in print or ebook. And I am on Twitter. That is Gillum Michelle is my handle on that, and Facebook author Michelle Gillum. And, of course, a website. But you can look at all that when you Google. And I love to hear from readers who want to tell me what they love about the characters, love about the story, anything you want to see in another book, or any way I can be better. Because without you guys reading it's just me writing over here for my three sons who may or may not read it.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being a guest on the show today. It's been great having you. And perhaps when the next book comes out, you'll come back and chat to us again.
I would love to, Barry. Thank you, and thank you all for listening.
Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Michelle Gillum, and that's spelt G-I-L-L-I-A-M. As I told Michelle before I started, that was my dentist for at least the first 20 years of my life. So I knew exactly how to pronounce Michelle Gillum. And you can find her, michellegillum-writer.com. michellegillum-writer.com. But just Google her. Just look for her, Michelle Gillum, G-I-L-L-I-A-M. Well, that's enough for today's show. I'll be back on Tuesday. Who have we got guests on Tuesday? Let me quickly check that up. Barbara Jaff. She was due to be on earlier in the year when I was in hospital. So she's coming on the show on Tuesday.